Thank you, Brother Ron. Amen. Well, it's good to have a little heaven. To go to big heaven here, praise God. Thank God. The devil's too late to convince me it's not real. He'll always be a dollar short, won't he? Amen. Praise God forevermore. Good to be here tonight. I want to thank the church along with Brother David. Thank everybody for your efforts and good fellowship we've had. And the good food, I tell you, it's just been wonderful. I appreciate this church. I don't go to many places where you get to eat with them every night. And classes, and the young people's classes, the young folks last night. And a marvelous job, I'll tell you. Amen. Ain't it good that this can go on in our land today?
Amen.
We don't have to have some kind of a hard metal rock and roll festival downtown somewhere in Memphis to get some young people out, but just the expectation that the glory of God might be here is enough to draw us in. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, I want to be on His trail, don't you? Thank God forevermore. Well, look in your Bibles with us now, and here in Proverbs. I want to look over in Proverbs tonight and find a text here in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Isn't that true? Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. Boy, that's good advice, isn't it? A stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty. But a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. You remember that time over in Galatians where Paul said that he had to rebuke or correct Peter. Amen? Well, that was a job, wasn't it? God had to be with him, didn't he? And, you know, he confronted him right to his face about that. And, Peter sort of wanted to hedge around. He wanted to be good friends and fellowship and harmonize with the young Gentile converts. But until the folks from James's place come over, amen, and some of the ritualistic Jewish brethren, amen. And then he kind of wanted to shy away, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. But Paul told him that wasn't the way to do. Amen. So that's kind of what this is talking about. It says open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen. See, a lot of times people, they act like that they love us. They act like that they appreciate you, but they may be playing a little Delilah trick on us. Amen. Amen. You remember that story? That's right. But anyway, it says here, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I want to talk about that a little while this evening on three faithful wounds. A wounding three times others in the Bible, but this is the way God has laid it upon our heart tonight. Three faithful wounds. You know, a lot of times we're so interested in the blessing and interested in the goodness and all and, the sensational part of things and what we can acquire with the Lord and everything, that's good and that's wonderful. But I believe that sometimes God needs to touch us in a pretty drastic way that might be compared to a wounding. Amen? That God needs to do that. I know he does me, and I know that I need it. And I know I need it just about every day for the Lord to somehow touch me. That's right. And this kind of reproof, this kind of wounding, faithful are the reprovings of a friend. Although, you know, they may be as painful, you see, as wounds for the present. Amen. That's right. You know, people, listen, when they go out, you notice the fields around where after a while the crops is going to yield, Brother Carl. Now, you see, the farmers, now they're not mad at the land, amen, but they got to wound it a little bit. Amen. And they got to turn it. They got to plow it. Amen. Isn't that so tonight? And that's exactly the way God has to continually do His precious people, and I'm glad of it. Amen. After a while, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Amen.
Yes, sirree. And so, He says this tonight, and the first thing that I want to talk about for a few moments, the first wounding that comes to my mind and my spirit in this day is a constant longing after God. If there ever been a time that we need to be touched with a constant longing after God, it's the day in which you and I are living now. That's right. Look in your Bible right quick, or let me read it to you. In the book of Philippians, I pin this down in chapter number 3 and verse number 4. And here the Apostle Paul is talking and warning against trusting in legal righteousness. If we're not careful now, we will begin to depend and trust in our own do's and don'ts of righteous living instead of desiring a constant longing for Him. Amen. Yes, we will. And so Paul said, though I might also, in verse 4, and though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now Paul said, listen, he said, if any man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the old natural abilities, amen, in the old natural thinking about religion and what I've done and how strong I've been, you know, and what I've refused and what I've turned away from and the willpower, you know, that I have exerted in this time. Why, that Paul said, now listen, if we're going to talk about what we were religiously in the old person, what we accomplished and what people recognized in us in the old natural religious state, the old natural religious state, folks, we might as well settle one thing in our mind tonight. There is a great mission field, and that is in the old natural religious state of affairs among Christendom tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And these are the people, I believe, if you do much preaching today, that you're going to be preaching to. Amen. But Paul said this. He said, now if we're going to talk about those merits, he said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. My. He said, look at that. How I was recognized and what I did. Look at the prestige level that I had among religious circles there. That's right. He said, is touching a righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Amen.
Amen.
Then he turns And he says, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I want to ask us tonight, are there things that we can look at and say, well, I lost this, and I shed this, and God peeled this away, and God stripped this down. Paul said, but the things that were gained that meant so much to me in the prestige of religious circles and recognition, those I counted loss. Why, Paul? Just one reason. For Him, thank God. For Him, amen. Yes, sirree. Not a position on the deacon board. Not a place in the choir. Not elected to the Sunday school faculty. Not being one that fills the pulpit. But thank God, one that knows Him. One that He knows. Amen. He said, I just count every bit of it as loss. Notice now the wounding. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Amen. There's a lot of things would be hard, you see, to do without. Hard put to make it, brother, without these things. Yes, sir. Not only a roof over our head, not only, brother, a good place to sleep at night, not only clothes upon our back, not only transportation, and brother, listen, to go further, not only a good father and a mother, but Paul said, I have suffered and been wounded, and brother, have given everything and put it all in God's hand. He said, whether it be mother or father, brothers or sisters, amen. The old school I come out of, he said, I have been willing to let God take it all. Amen. And the prestige level. And he said, brother, listen, no matter what it is or what it might have been, he said, I'm willing to be wounded and suffer the loss of all these things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ. Amen. Paul, listen to me. Paul had an affair. Paul, my friend, listen, he entered into something, a relationship that he had never been before. Yes, he did. He fell in love. Thank God forevermore. Now, I mean that binding kind of love. I mean that bondage. Amen. I mean that kind, praise God, that made him a servant, a bond slave to his lover. Brother, from that day on, I believe old Paul is in heaven tonight, Brother Ron, saying, amen, Carter, amen. Oh, he was just a man, preacher, like you and I. But thank God he met the man. Yes, he did. And brother, he got wounded and fell in love. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a young man. And here he's growing and he's approaching adulthood. And he's coming along. And about all he's ever thought of is playing ball or going fishing. Amen. And having a good pocket knife or a rifle. Amen. That's about all he's ever thought about. That's right. But one spring morning, as he's walking along down to the fishing hole, he passes little Susie from down the road. That's right. And he's been knowing her and my brother acquainted for a long time. But unbeknown to him that morning, Cupid's got his arrow drawn and his bow stretched. Amen. And he fires that fatal shot. And brother, right through Johnny's heart it goes. And he's wounded. And he forgets the way to the fishing hole. Amen. And forgot what he was doing. Almost forgot his name. And he's never been the same anymore. Amen. I want to say, brother, that's what happened to me one day when I got wounded by the Lord. Yes, sirree. How wonderful that it is. Oh, a constant longing now. A constant longing. It don't matter how old the relationship is. Amen. I mean, little Susie looks just as good to him on their 50th wedding anniversary as the day they walked down the aisle. Oh, hallelujah to God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord forever. I mean, she may be sickly now, and hair is turned to silver. Steps have gotten slow, and the years have been grained. Listen to me, the wrinkles upon the brow. But oh, to him, the older she gets, the better she is. Praise God forevermore. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that's what Paul, a little earthly illustration of how Paul felt when he fell in love and brother gave himself, amen, I mean brother, deliberately unto the Son of God. Yes, he did. Oh, tonight, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it glorious? Praise God forevermore. Oh, it is. Psalm 63 and verse 8. Oh, the writer said, my soul followeth hard after thee. My soul follows hard after thee. We got all kind of conversions going today. Yes, we have. But there's people today that are misapplying and misunderstanding and misusing and perverting the scriptures. I know, brother, the Bible teaches us in Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. Yes, I do. But brother, listen tonight. I'm afraid that the natural believing of man has entered into that. I believe the choosing of man has entered in. And the romanticism in the intellect about religion and brother about Christian affairs have somehow, kindly fascinated them and drew them in. That's right. But beloved, hear me tonight. I want you to know one thing. It's something more than just a dead human believing that'll get you in. These people tonight that believe about him. These people that know about the church, but they don't know the Lord, and they don't have the love affair, and they do not constantly long after Jesus Christ. They just don't, amen. No siree. Conversions have become more and more mechanical. Just about a how-to lesson on everything from getting them to come to your church to how to listen, amen, to the message, to how to take the steps to come down the aisle, amen, how to kneel. That's right, and the words to say, amen, that's right. Brothers, people today that have gotten so mechanical about this thing tonight, they have become formal in all that they do towards winning the lost, and they're convincing people through their mental intellects. Yes, they are. And brother, these kind of conversions and these kinds of memberships, I'll tell you what, it never ever creates any embarrassment to the old Adam nature. It never creates, brother, any kind of a plunging sword into their pride. None whatsoever. No siree. Brother, listen to me. Their social life goes above the spiritual life, and it creates no special longing for the Son of God. No, it don't.
Their life has not changed one iota. Only thing is now, their name's on the book at the church house. Amen. But mechanical has been their move. Spiritless has been their conversion. Amen. Yes, it has. Oh, tonight, I'm so glad that when the Lord comes, oh, He does something to me that I've never gotten used to and never got enough of it. Praise God. I have to shed this robe of flesh. Have to fold this frailty, Brother David, Ron, before I can really get the fullness of it all. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And so tonight, wounded with a constant longing after Jesus. It means more than getting you a good husband. Amen. It means more, teenagers, than being selected as a homecoming queen. Amen. Or king. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Constantly.
Yeah.
Amen. The people that study these kind of things and this type of thinking tell me that the people from 40 years old and below, listen, that they think at least once every 8 minutes of their life about sexual affairs. Constant. Constant with them. Amen. Constantly wanting to fulfill the desire. Amen. And I'm glad God put this in us, amen. God made our flesh. God realizes this. And God wants man, you see, to replenish that earth. Amen. That's right. And that's a wonderful thing tonight. It is. And it's a strong drive. Well, it's a strong drive. And especially younger people as they come to that age. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, praise God, there's something. When David spoke about Jonathan's death, and their life of fellowship together, he said, the beauty of Israel has been slain. He said, teach all your children to shoot the arrows like Jonathan did. Oh, he said, Jonathan, your love to me was great, surpassing the love of women. Amen. No, he wasn't homosexual. No, he was talking about fellowship around the truth of God. Brother, around the house of the Lord tonight. Hey, son, I mean, there's nothing, brother, in this world, listen to me, that will come up to the marriage and the holy wedlock. But I want to tell you, there's something that goes beyond all of it tonight. There's something, praise God, that's more wonderful. Hallelujah. There he is. And I want to tell you, brother, it's the love of God, the presence of His glory among His children. Hallelujah. It's the most wonderful thing you'll ever experience. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Could y'all say amen right here? Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Could y'all say amen over there? Do you believe and know what I'm talking about? Amen. Praise God. I know I'm excitable. I know I'm emotional. Amen. But I'm not too emotional, you know, when God's not touching me. Amen. Ron can tell you. That's right. Old Marty Few told my wife one time, after we had a big glorious service, you know, we went to ask to eat a bite. Amen. He said, no, it ain't no fun at all after you get done preaching. He said, amen. I said, man, I'm give out. I'm wrung out. Amen. He said, you know, all he thinks about is the Lord. Amen. Oh, glory be to God tonight. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you, friend, among all the things and the needs of life, and the needs are wonderful and it's okay, but I'm here to try to tell you, mamas and daddies and children tonight, there's something above it all. Hallelujah to God. There is a love that surpasses family love and everything about it. Praise God. I want to believe tonight, regardless if I lost my boys and my daughter and lost my wife next week, on of faith. I keep on traveling with my precious Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God forever. Oh, constantly, constantly longing. Be shocked. Love sick. Amen. Glory to God. You see, we're guilty of sometimes seeking God and many other things when He just wants us to seek God a lot of times. I honestly believe that most of our supplication is just getting in position where God can bless us. Amen.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been at this 39 years, preacher, and Brother Hubert, I've never learned how to pray. I mean, you call me to pray, and you know, I pray 4 or 5 minutes, maybe pretty good, and things, you know, it comes to my mind and sayings I know, and then, you know, I'm not much good at it. Amen. That's right. But there has been times when God, see, had somehow withdrawn His fellowship. Heard a good little old novelty country song the other day. This boy's wife had just clammed up on him. I mean, she wouldn't say one word to him. Some of y'all might have heard it. And he said, just say you're going to kill me, say you're going to love me, say you're going to stay, say you're going to leave, say, just say anything, hallelujah. I said, God, just say anything to me. Lord, amen. I know I come to church and I wasn't ready, Lord. I know I come through a week prayerless. I know it, God. Oh, but I don't want to go that way again. I don't want to mount that pulpit that day no more. God, please, just say anything to me, Lord. Whatever. Let me hear your voice, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, tonight, wounded that way. Wounded that way. Praise God forever. How wonderful that is. How glorious. Yes, it is. God knows all about it. Oh, we're in an age of religious activities. Nervous programs. Nervous energy being burned on every side. Amen. Come on, folks. Come on now. Help me a little. Keep nodding your heads. Keep saying amen. Preach it, Carter. Y'all know the more you do that, the quicker I get done. I just preach myself and burn up. Amen. Praise God. Come on now. Help me a little bit. Amen to God. Listen, beloved. I mean tonight that you see all these religious activities, all this nervous energy and methods that's being burned up in many religious programs today. I mean, it has to be, and I realize that, and I know there's got to be a good orderly way and some organization about us. I'm for it 100%, thank God. But I want to tell you something tonight. All of it together without Him in the midst will never satisfy longing soul. You can have the programs and the plays and every promotion in the world. Oh, but if He don't show up, hear me tonight. He knows when you long after Him. He knows when you love Him. Amen. Yes, He does. I'm glad we can get wounded that way. Amen. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, God. Some modern theology says that because the Lord moved in and lives in our hearts, that there's no need for us to seek Him since He's not lost. There's no need for me to long after Him since He lives there all the time. See, I know that. It tells me that. Amen. Positionally, judicially, that is true. But I like that experientially kind. You know what I'm trying to say tonight? And a lot of people say it's just, amen. And they teach this in some seminaries and cemeteries. And they say, you know, that people, since the Lord lives with you always, amen, that it's not logical to cry and to pray and to fast and spend many, many long days seeking God's face and God's power. It's just not logical. Amen. And I begin to notice folks. Amen. The ones that do like that, the ones that just keep on seeking His face. Amen. And I notice that them that do like that teacher said, they got logic. And others keep on finding the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise God. I just get on that side. Hallelujah. Amen. You see what I'm trying to say tonight? I don't matter to me about logic. I mean, I know He's always in there. I know He lives within me tonight. But He don't have to move one little finger unless He wants to. And He don't have to open one door. You'll never make nobody do nothing till God. Listen, number two, we need a wounding of compassion in our kind of a day. Amen. I mean spiritual burden in this day in which we live. Oh, God, help us tonight. God, help us to see this right here. Oh, Christian, listen to me. If you don't get nothing else about this wounding, get this right here. Amen. Jeremiah 8 and along in those verses 20 through 22. Listen, the Bible says that the harvest is past and the summer's ended, and we're not saved. Amen. And on down there in verse 22, He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Huh? Is there no physician there? He said, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people? Huh? Why is it not, why is she not healed? Amen. Why is she not healed then? But He says something from His heart in verse 21 that shot an arrow in my heart, Bob. He said something, Brother Don, in verse 21. Listen to me now. Sis, listen. He said something, Jeremiah 8:21. He said, for the hurt, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. Think on that a minute. Think on that a minute. For the hurt of my people am I hurt. You know what that means? Just exactly what it sounds like. You ever had a heartache? I don't mean a heart attack. I mean a heartache. A heartache. Old time preacher gone out west. The days, brother, before the computer system and before the little black books for preachers and even dates. He was led out there, but nobody moved. They were so anti-Christ in that little western town. But he preached and he prayed and he preached and he prayed and nobody come. Amen. He preached on the sidewalks, preached in the stores, anywhere that he could get an ear. One person, 10 person, he preached all over town. And it lasted for weeks. And finally one day they missed him. They went outside town, the little shack where they knew he had stayed. They missed his voice at once. Yeah. Nobody said they heeded it. Nobody said they paid any attention to it. But they missed his voice. Missed his voice. Look up here at me, young people. Look up here at me, young people. Come on now, I'm telling you something tonight. Come on, help me. Help me, young folks. Help me now, girls and boys. Listen. Listen, he was missing. He was missing. They said, where in the world did he go? They began to search, and after a while, some of the council went out of town, went out to the little shack. And the mayor was there, and the sheriff, and the physician, the doctor. And they went in. And there he was, knelt at the little cot where the kid stayed, on his knees and his face in an open Bible. And the Lord had took him home. The doctor began to try to examine him the best he could. They said, no doubt, he died of malnutrition. They said, no. No doubt, then, maybe elements, the weather and exposure got him. The doctor said, not as I can tell. Though that he had fasted, he had took the elements of the weather. He had fasted, I said. He had done without food. He was burdened. God took his appetite. He was poor. Amen. But he said, not as I can tell. No malnutrition did this. They said, well, Doc, said, just in your educated opinion, said, what do you think really took him? He said, I'm going to tell you what I think took him. He said, the best I can tell, this man died of a longing, broken heart. Amen. When you save young people and dads and mothers alike, when we really get a burden in this work of God,
It not only is wonderful and good, but it's dangerous. It'll keep you from some places you thought you needed to go. Amen. And it's dangerous, you see. And he died under that load. They said it killed him. And so they went back to their homes and their shops, but in a few days, in the hearts of the children, the moms and dads, they began to hear the ring of the old preacher's voice. Amen. And after a while, a mom over here was saved. And then a dad, and then some children. Amen. And just about everybody in the town was eventually born again. That's right. That's right. There's something more important. There's something that takes the top of everything we're about tonight. There's nothing can compare or match the love of God in a surrendered Christian's heart. There's nothing can match it tonight. The burning, the desire, the compassion, the love for His church and for those yet to be born into His church. Praise God forever. The compassion that we need in these hours. Oh yes. How wonderful. How glorious. Honestly, honestly, it puts me under conviction. To preach on it, it puts me under conviction to preach on this tonight. I've met a few men down the trail who, when they just get in the pulpit or come in my presence and shake my hand, would put me under Holy Ghost conviction because they had this wounding of compassion. Jeremiah said, I'm shot in the heart. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. You can tell it. You can tell it. It's hard to hide a mortal wound.
Yes,
yes, it is. Hard to hide. Oh, yes, tonight. How we need it, dear people of God. How we need it. Oh, before I go to this last point, I'll be brief. I wish that I could truly get a hold of God and I could truly tonight ask the Lord to forgive me, Brother Ron, because I know I'm saved. And Lord, I know there are Christians here. I know there are Christians here. But Lord, I'm a hard, callous, cold Christian. I'm a thoughtless, careless Christian. I'm a light Christian. I'm talking about compassion. I'm not talking about foolish, morbid thinking. I'm talking about compassion. Oh God, help us tonight. Help us tonight. As Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Listen to me. He was praying for the transgressors that was present that day. He wasn't praying, brother, in that particular moment just for the church to come and sinners in general. No, the Bible said that he gave His life and he paid the ransom for many. And that's right, over in Isaiah 53 in the last verse, number 12. But it said He was numbered among those transgressors. And the last line said, my friend, that He prayed forgiveness for those transgressors. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. There ain't many of God's people doing an intercessory prayer work today. I know I'm not. Not like I ought to. Sometimes I enter around the edges of it. An intercessory prayer work. Amen. Somebody said, why is it necessary, preacher? Because it's God's way.
Right.
You see, when the Lord prayed for those transgressors right there, I want to tell you something. You read in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4,
and you'll find out that God answered his prayer. 3,000 of them got saved first. 5,000 got saved a few hours later. Not because of Peter's eloquent preaching. I know they had to hear the word, and they heard it. And they moved on it. But I'm going to tell you what that was. That was the prayer from the cross. When Jesus looked at those transgressors and said, Father, forgive them. Because Peter said there in Acts 3:17, he said, I know, brethren, that you did it all through ignorance. He said, they know not what they do.
Amen.
And it works.
Yes.
But the only people that understand it when they really need to be doing it is those that's been doing some of it all their life. You ever come across, let me say this quick, I'm going to hush. Let me say this quickly. Listen, you ever hear this? Well, you know, I'm just laying here. I've got old now. I can't teach no Sunday school class. I can't go to the house of God. I'm just laying. I don't know why God leave me here. I don't know why. God, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I don't know
why
God leave me here like this.
Uh-huh.
Well, He might be getting you ready for the most important work of all.
But
usually those guys don't know anything about it before they got crippled, amen. And that's why they don't recognize the opportunity when they do get down in bed.
Oh, yeah.
That all they need to do then is just pray intercessory and have compassion. Amen. Oh, praying John Hyde. Come home from that India and wrote to his kinfolk and said, thank God. As a young man, his heart had been pulled down because of long hours of prayer. 4 or 5 inches out of place. But he said, thank God the Lord has now let me enter into the greatest work of all. I can do nothing now but intercede. God have mercy on me tonight. Oh, church, tonight. The prophet said, I'm hurt. And we can just flop around with them. Amen. See them day in and day out and loved ones. And, amen. And go along. We hardly shed any tears now. Oh, we get that religious aggravation about it. Try to correct them sometimes. Yeah. You ought to do this. Yeah. You deserved it. You deserved what you got. You deserved what you got. Now, I'm not talking about no pilgrimized, brother, high-flung Armenian type of win the world. I'm talking about a compassion, brother, that comes from a wounded of God. If we yield before Him and say, dear Lord, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm hard and I'm cold and I'm callous. God, please, Lord, wound me, dear God. Let it be real to me one more. Let me weep over my children. Let me weep over my neighbor, God, please. Lord, let me somehow be broken and melted down before it's too late. Help me, God, to be that way. And then last of all, there is that wounding of contrition. Constant longing, compassion, and contrition. Oh yes. Oh yes. Remorse. Contrition. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Thou wilt not despise, O God. The Lord is nigh them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrition, contrite spirit. Listen to me about 3, 4, 5 more minutes. I promise you I'll hush then. Listen to me now. Contrite. Contrition. Contrition. Oh, people are built up today, brother. Listen to me. In self-sufficiency on every side. Yes, we are. We are. Oh, God, help us tonight. God, give us a Jacob experience, Lord!
Yes.
Let us know, dear God, that we got some things to face out, chump. Esau is coming meeting us, Lord. Take us, God, in the midnight hours. Get us, Lord, across the brook somewhere. And don't let us come out, God. Until the sun rises overhead. Praise God and and the flesh has been put down. And he halted upon his thigh. And you know the story. Oh God, tonight, how wonderful. Wounded in contrition. Yes, sir, Lee. Wounded. All of the soldiers, brave on the battlefield. Let me at them. Yes, God, I can get the job done. I know what to do. I'm not afraid. You need a volunteer, I'm him. Want to go behind the enemy line. I'm a soldier. Captain, I'm a soldier. Yes, I am. Give me a chance to show what I can do, how brave I am in this army. And he's marching along. He said, I'll tell you, this enemy looks like little flies to me. I believe I could take them single-handed. He's built up, puffed, swollen. That's right. There he goes. He said, boy, when I see the cannon, I'm going to run my head down in the barrel. Say, I double dog dare you to pull the trigger. I know some Baptists just exactly like that in the work of God. Run my head in the barrel of a cannon, dare him to pull the trigger. But as he run along with his automatic in his hands, come and get me, you devils, come get me. Here I come after you. About that time, something he never even heard.
Yes.
A terrible thud and a burning sensation knocked him to his knees. Brother, the rifle was lost. The ability to move and function was gone.
Yes.
Amen. And in the mud and the blood, he was heard to cry like the little son he used to be 20 years ago. He said, Mother, please come help me. Please come help me. You know what I'm trying to say tonight? He saved us such a day of contrition.
Yes.
And a broken heart. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom. Poor in spirit. The bankrupt. This world. The ones that suffer the woundings of a friend. What a pastor. You don't have to tell me nothing. You don't necessarily even have to move up here to front of the altar. Be good. That's it, but you don't have to. I'm just preaching to us tonight about where we live as God's people. God help us tonight. God help us. I want to ask you tonight, has every one of you looked up at me? And I promise you, man, I'm done. I want to ask you tonight. I know that it's on your mind about people, in my mind, about church and about lost folks and things. But I just want to humbly, I want to ask you, is it as much as it was? Would you be honest with me, man? Is it as much as it used to be? Is it like it ought to be? Is it tonight? Is it? I want to ask you, if you come to church with a lost person and you talk to them, had a good time together, but really had no burden for them,
Now, I know we don't save anybody. I'm not talking about that. But you had a good time together with them. But truly, you had no time with God. No real heart rending about their condition. None whatsoever. Amen. They met their end on this highway out here. I want to ask you that. Would it be good? Would that be... How would it be? I'm not saying that. Don't you misunderstand me tonight. The salvation's in our hand whatsoever. I'm going to tell you one thing. God uses intercession. And God uses compassion. See, we're what God uses in this world. We're what we're looking at tonight. Amen. While we... I want just to remain seated a moment, and if you would, come to the instrument, Sister Patty. Brother David, go ahead and get this song. But it's just with our heads bowed a moment or two, just stay seated tonight. I'd like to preach tomorrow night on a subject that's been troubling my heart. But please pray about it. Please pray about it. And I'd love to. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the move of God in such a way on the closing night of the Bible? I want it so much. I want it every night. I do. If anybody here wants revival, I want it. But in what I preach tonight, it wakes me up to the reality of my own need. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I wonder tonight, we may not get back tomorrow night. Sunday may never come. But I wonder tonight, if we could leave this church house at the close of this service and all, if we could leave here so close to the Lord that if the gate opened up, we could just run right in praising His name. Would you like to move? Would you like to move and ask God to help us? Lord, in our day, things makes me so cold and callous. Lord, in my day, things blots what I know I need so much. And Lord, You're the only one we can turn to. Young people, would y'all come? Mothers and daddies, would you gather around? Would you tonight? Would you young men and young soldiers, would y'all come pray for me tonight? You young men, young ladies that are saved back here tonight, would y'all come up here and pray for me tonight? Would you? Y'all pray that God would shake us and help us in these last days in the church. Would you do it tonight? I'm done. I know it's strange. God bless you.